One.
I knew basically that I didn't want to live in the States anymore. Once I realized I could leave and that I'd be fine,
Yeah.
I basically went back, gave away everything I owned, and left the States like 5 months later. And so the first place I went back to the UK, and then I was in Ireland, and then I got robbed in Ireland in a hostel. And then the next morning, I was kind of panicking a little bit, trying to figure out what to do and where to go. And someone else in the hostel that was just nearby said, "Oh, you should try Thailand. It's nice and it's cheap." And so I bought a ticket to Thailand. I didn't even know where it was.
Two.
I had maybe like $3,000 left or something like that at that point. And I don't know, I figured after being there a little while, I'm like, oh, I could live off this for a year or two. Because it was 2003, the exchange rate was great, and it was hard to spend money there.
Three.
And then I started teaching English, and I tried to learn Thai from the day, like the first day. I bought some phrase books before I got on the plane, and I was, I listened to some CD. It was like Living Languages. I'm sure you've heard of that one. And to which I think I learned the numbers and a few phrases. I didn't know how to learn a language or anything.
Four.
And then I just got there and walked around with like a Lonely Planet phrase book and started yelling at people in Thai, thinking I knew what I was doing.
And it worked.
No, it was terrible.
It's not working.
But I
Okay.
didn't know. I thought I was great. I was like, oh yeah, I think I got an act for this.
Five.
And it was probably towards the end of the first year that I got a job teaching English in another province. Originally, I was in Chiang Mai. And I went to this other province about halfway to Bangkok. And going there, I thought my Thai was great. And I realized pretty quickly that maybe it wasn't as good as I thought it was, because I had a lot of trouble understanding people and they didn't understand me. And at first I thought it was all of them. But eventually I realized that the problem was probably me.
Six.
And that's when I kind of really dug into the script and the pronunciation, and that's kind of when everything leveled up and everything changed pretty dramatically at that point. And I even remember, like, I remember there was moments of epiphany where I was like, I can't believe I've been saying these two sounds wrong for so long, because they're so different once I kind of had a way to map them in my mind with the script. And that was sort of the catalyst for everything else.
Seven.
I mean, as I'm sure you know, until you kind of grasp the sound system of a language, it's really hard to make any real progress. Because it's a lot of one of the big problems is if you can't say the sound in your own mouth, it's really hard to parse it when other people are saying it. So you miss so many sounds. But if you get really comfortable with the sound system, you can hear what the sounds of what people are saying, even if you don't know the words yet, which just makes it easier for you to pick it out, remember, maybe write down, and then figure it out later. Or, once you've heard it a few times, you tend to learn it.
Eight.
How long did it take you to become fluent in Thai?
I mean, what is fluent
Yeah,
mean,
what is
right?
fluent? I mean,
I'd say like 3 years.
3 years. So
Three
after.
years to become like to the point where I could like read books and not sound like an idiot in most of the situations. But even now, 17 years later, I don't know everything.
Nine.
I mean, if someone asked me to give some speech on politics, I could kind of do it, but I would sound probably like an idiot. Because it's just, I just spend my time on the things that I'm interested in. I don't learn things just to say that I can do them or to pass a test or impress anybody. I just do what I like.
Ten.
So about 2006, that's when I started teaching Thai on the side. I had a friend who was always complaining to me about why he couldn't figure out why his Thai wasn't very good. And he had been in Thailand longer than me, and he didn't understand, if he had been doing it longer, why wasn't he better than me? And I at that point, I long knew that it's because you haven't learned to read and you've never really learned to process the sounds. So everything you're saying is essentially wrong, which nobody wants to hear, but that's the only way to move forward, is to accept that you're not as good as you think you are.
11.
And so I told him, if you want, I could probably teach you the script. And he's like, what? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And he ran off and he said, I'm going to go find a school And then I ran into him a couple months later, and he's like, yeah, I asked a bunch of schools, and they wanted me to take some, like, 30-hour speaking course before they teach me the script. So he said, let's try your way. And so he was the first person I taught.
12.
And it worked really well. It worked so well that I started blogging about the process as we were when we were meeting and the mm-hmm. things that I would try with him. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the beginning of it. It was just called like Learn Thai at Blogspot or one of those free blog things back in, you know, the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
And then the name came about probably, I don't know, probably like the end of that decade, like 2009 or 10. People had already been calling me the white guy since mm-hmm. like 2005. That's the earliest I remember being called that.
13.
I was doing translation. I was teaching Thai. I wasn't teaching English so much anymore because I was at that point I was able to charge quite a bit more money for teaching people Thai. At this point, we're kind of like the early digital nomads were kind of coming into Chiang Mai at that point. And so
yeah.
I could charge them like, you know, 35, 40 bucks an hour to teach them Thai, which was, you know, pretty respectable back then. I mean, it still is not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way more than I could make teaching English in any situation.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, paid better than translation, which is like slave labor.
14.
I can explain things that the average native speaker isn't even aware of that they take for granted. Mm. I mean, imagine trying to explain how to make an L sound if you have, I mean, if you're a language teacher, maybe you have some experience thinking about this, but the average person, the average, especially a monolingual person, they have no idea about how to make the sounds in their mouth
mm-hmm.
and how to how do you explain that sound to someone else, especially if it's not their native language? It's very difficult to explain an L. I'm actually kind of telling them where your tongue is supposed to be and how it's similar to a sound in English, but now and how it's different. The native just keeps repeating the sound and you say it wrong, and then somebody gets upset and gives up.
15.
Brett, any other things?
Stay honest.
Stay honest. Stay honest. Be personal. Honest.
Yeah, be nice. And just work really hard to make something good of value to that will help someone or will make someone else's life better or easier.
Great.